Like, call this meeting to regular city council meeting for Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014. Will now come to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Best?
Here.
Councilmember Combs?
Here.
Councilmember DeReese?
Here.
Councilmember Erby is ill and will not be here this evening. Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Here.
Mayor Johnson?
Here.
There is a quorum.
If there is no objection, we will note that Councilmember Erby is not here and is excused. All right, seeing no objection, Councilmember Erby is excused, and that brings us to the Pledge of Allegiance. And could I have Mr. Helmrichs, our member of our airport board, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before us, we have the approval of the agenda and the consent, which includes a consent agenda and the minutes from the September 9, 2014 regular meeting and the September 16 special meeting. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda and the minutes?
Second.
Made by Councilmember Best and seconded by Councilmember Carrington to approve the consent agenda, regular agenda and minutes. Madam Clerk, would you please read the consent agenda into the record?
Introduction of ordinance number 14-002, authorizing the city manager to execute a renewal of airport lease number 92-1. Introduction of ordinance number 14-024, amending portions of Palmer Municipal Code Chapter 316, sales tax. Introduction of ordinance number 14-025, amending portions of Palmer Municipal Code Title 5, business licenses and regulations, providing for fees and fines for violations. Introduction of ordinance number 14-026, amending portions of Palmer Municipal Code Title 6, animals, to reflect fines for violations. Introduction of ordinance number 14-027, amending portions of Palmer Municipal Code Title 8, health and safety, providing for fines for violations. Introduction of ordinance number 14-028, amending portions of Palmer Municipal Code Title 9, public peace, morals, welfare, and providing for fines for violations. Introduction for ordinance number 14-029, amending portions of Palmer Municipal Code Chapter 10.04, traffic code. Introduction of ordinance number 14-030, enacting Palmer Municipal Code Chapter 10.08, 100 fines. Introduction of ordinance number 14-031, amending portions of Palmer Municipal Code Title 12, streets, sidewalks, and public places, providing for fines for violations. Introduction of ordinance number 14-032, amending Palmer Municipal Code Section 1560.010, violations, penalty relating to fines for violations, and all of those ordinances will receive a public hearing on October 14th. Resolution number 14-028, accepting and appropriating grant number 15-DC-129 in the amount of $5,000 from the State of Alaska Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, for the Palmer-Wasilla Highway Corridor Plan, U.S. DOT TIGER grant matching funds. Resolution 14-033, confirming the appointment of election officials for the City of Palmer regular election on Tuesday, October 7th, 2014.
All right, very good. Do we have any corrections or additions to the minutes or comments on anything else? With that in mind, we have a motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda, regular agenda, and minutes. All those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. We have an approved agenda. And just by matter of note, the code does say that we will say yes and no. So we will approve our votes. No, we don't have to do it that way, but just saying. I have that in my notes, according to the clerk. And that's pretty high authority. Okay, that brings us to we do not have any communication and appearance requests. We do have reports, city manager's report, as noted on page 91. Mr. Manager.
Well, I can answer any of the questions about the report. There's quite a few items on there. And the only additional one is just a comment, and maybe the mayor will cover it also, about that we had a snow meeting with businesses. And separately, you're receiving the notes of those businesses, and we have another follow-up coming in October to be able to deal with the winter season coming up and recommendations from local business of how we can maybe improve some stuff. But I'm here to answer, and hopefully it's pretty straightforward, of the items that are on the report from August to September.
All right, any questions for the manager?
I just have one comment. So I did look at your email list of people that were invited to your snow removal. I think you need to include a little bit further to the north as well of the downtown district area. I did get comments from some other local businesses that were not included. So please be inclusive into your snow removal investigation.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Manager.
I'm glad to do that. If you have some names of someone that suggests, we're pretty wide. We went to the chamber and asked them for anyone, but they're open. And the more people, the merrier, to try to develop a policy. And what we'll come back to council, so you don't feel like you're left out. One is this in the minutes, so you can see what the questions are. But then one of our goals here is to bring back a snow policy that we have right now. The priority routes that are on our website, we want to put a little more meat to it so that people can say, how do we remove them in what areas? So that's coming back to you after the meetings.
And I don't know that if I missed this, but we did have a second follow-up meeting scheduled for October 22nd, 4 o'clock? 4 o'clock p.m. So for anyone that may have mentioned that, Mr. Hansen, make sure to let them know that that's when that's happening too. Thank you. All right, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Tomorrow morning, both Zelmer and I will be traveling to Fairbanks to attend the free records management training that I reported on earlier. I will have my laptop and iPad, as there is an agenda deadline this week. So if you need to go home, just call me or send me an email. The nine ordinances that were introduced this evening all deal with fines, and I would just ask that as you look at them, as you ponder them, to realize that yes, there are portions of code within those ordinances that do need to be addressed, and they will come back and be addressed at a later time. However, this is really the focus is fines, so if you consider that, I'd appreciate it. And a reminder again, AML is coming. If you'd like to go, please let me know. I'd like to get you registered. And that's all I have this evening, unless there's any questions.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anything for the clerk? Thank you, Madam Clerk. We did talk about snow and the mayor's report. We talked about, did have the snow meeting. I wanted to make note that our very own Eric Van Dessen, front and center, chief of police, and I believe in Butte.
Fire.
I'm sorry. Butte doesn't have a police department. They have a fire department. Good to see our very own Eric Van Dessen. Couldn't be a better guy. So proud of him. And he continues to be our employee here at the city. Is that right? That's right. Okay, very good. And go ahead, Madam Clerk.
I'm sorry, Madam Mayor. One of the most important things going on right now, of course, is early voting. Early voting started yesterday, and there is a nice turnout for the first day of early voting. So if you plan to be out of the city, I know a couple people are on election day, please go vote or request an absentee by mail or by electronic means ballots. The deputy clerk sent out by mail ballots, and I sent out the electronic ballots, so we're on schedule. Thank you.
All right, very good.
Madam, for the record, the election date is October 7th.
May I make a comment?
Councilmember Combs.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank the city clerk for all the work on the election pamphlet. I've mentioned it a couple weeks ago at Chamber of Commerce tomorrow. I'll be bringing it up again, and I have a stack of them for anybody that's misplaced theirs or wants one. But I know it was a tremendous amount of work and a job well done.
All right, thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Getty.
Madam Mayor, thank you. Nothing to report.
Our next item on the agenda is audience participation. Time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council on any matter for up to 3 minutes if you are representing yourself, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open. Seeing no one come forward, audience participation is now closed. We have no action memorandum. We have no unfinished business, but we do have new business. Is there a motion to adopt resolution number 14-021 requesting the Alaska State Legislature to include the city's adopted capital projects for 2014 SFY 2015 state capital budget as noted in item 14-052?
So moved.
Second, made by Councilmember Combs, seconded by Councilmember Best. Discussion or request for staff report? Are we ready to vote on resolution number 14-021? Your Honor, Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you. In the past, when we've have adopted the capital projects, we've had, you know, further information on each one that was going to be provided to the legislature and or to the governor. And I was wondering if that packet has been prepared.
Mr. Hannon.
Madam Mayor, we have the background and I can provide that. I was following the last pattern that we did of putting the list together. So I can answer any of the questions with the exception of, I think the Public Safety Dispatch Center software and the Bab Arboretum Restoration and the Palmer Water Tower, all the other ones are basically carried over from the other one. But I'm glad to. Yes, we do. We've made a draft packet, depending on what you do tonight, to be able, you know, for you or for anyone else that does our lobbying. But I can answer any question about any of the items that are on there.
I have a question.
Okay.
On the water tower, and this is just something that I know was, I just remember Mr. Snodgrass, our former attorney, mentioning about the water tower, and that he had suggested that there be a, and I forget exactly the term, maybe Mike, it was a lease, it was a long, kind of basically a long-term lease of the tower and its footprint, instead of an outright actual purchase. And I don't know, maybe that's the term for it. I don't know, long-term lease or something thereabouts. Have you given that any thought, or could you see? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, there an advantage to a lease as opposed to a outright purchase? Sorry, I can't have you channel Jack here, but I know, but you know.
Oh, I have the greatest respect for Mr. Snodgrass, so I'll try to answer his question. Or your question. I'm not sure of exactly what Jack spoke of. There could be a long-term lease. I mean, there's any number of property disposal techniques that one could employ. There could be a license to use it. There could be an easement, a lease. The question really becomes, what would someone want? What cost would someone want for a lease of the tower?
Very little.
Home. Well, then we'd undertake the liability for that, so you'd have insurance requirements and those sorts of things. But sure, I mean, it's something to look at. I mean, I don't know what the answer to the question might be or what the other party might think as far as leasing it to the city, but maybe they'd be willing to do that. I don't know.
Well, I guess what I'm wondering is if before we decide to go straight ahead with a purchase or request for purchase, I guess I would like to know a little bit more about different options on that in case, I mean, if we can't purchase the whole parcel, it might be that we could just lease or something, a small, a small piece of it. Mr. Gaddy.
I guess my question would be, how much further along does that get you for development of the project if you were to break out a footprint with the tower, with the water tower on it, while the remainder of the parcel is in a separate ownership? The other question would be, obviously, you could determine the fair market value of the lease through an appraisal, so you could get that. And then I don't know what the negotiations have been lately with the tower and that parcel with Mr. Ingleson, but that's another question to answer. Those are policy questions for the council.
Well, and at the time, I recall it being something about basically to protect the water tower, because at this point, there's no protection of the water tower, and he could sell it or he could choose to tear it down or whatever. And so identifying it as a feature that is integral to the identity of Palmer, I think the idea of being able to lease it would, no matter how, whether it's kept, disposed some other way, that it would stay within, would stay protected without putting some kind of zoning, on it.
That might make some sense if that's the direction you guys want to go in.
Your Honor.
Councilmember DeVries.
I was wondering if we could have, input from the city manager, because I would assume he's the one that's put it on here, and that some of those questions that you brought up were the same questions I had, and, how much land does this involve, and, whatever. So that's why I was looking for backup, but so I would appreciate a further information on that. Thank you.
All right, let's see.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Hammond.
Hi. Sure. I was actually expecting a little more discussion about any of the projects on there. Specifically with the water tower, the goal there is, under any kind of development, I think it's, the feedback I've received is that that's an icon of the city that we want to protect. The value of, and that notwithstanding, no, I haven't talked to anyone about a lease. I've looked at purchase. This number is a general number that was thrown out almost 2 years ago about what it might be in value. I've talked to Mr. Ingleson saying that this is there for discussion with the council, and I really, it's as much of anything, it's a, out there so that if the legislature is looking for a project that is important for cultural history and potentially economic development, and they don't have a lot of money, but again, these are listed in a priority, it's at the end of our list, that they could help us with that. But it's part of the whole block that needs to come back and talk about development. So this was a number that had been used earlier.
Your Honor, I was going to ask the mic. Can I have a follow-up?
I'll defer.
Okay, thank you. Because I'm wondering, is just as the mayor said, is this just the land where the legs are on? Is there access? And subdividing that land out? And just lots of questions going on in my mind. And so I guess I'd like some further explanation. Thank you.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Gaddy.
As I recall, that parcel, the negotiations fell through because the property owner wanted, I believe, close to $1 million.
Mayor, can I follow up?
Mr. Hammond.
Okay. There is access across there. The owner of the map made knows what the intent is to try to protect it. It's part of a full development on the block. We need to have that as a discussion, but it's just looking at the footprint there. Now, clearly, in between all of the parcel there, including between Mr. Ingleside's property and the state property, there is a potential for other, like a plaza or something in the middle if the city ever chose to buy that or negotiating with. There's the three people that have the property there that they're would be easy enough to split off or to be part of a development are the Palmer Arts. It's Mr. Ingleside and the Holbert's property. And then if the county any or the state, if any part of that's used. And the others are all aware. I've spoken with every property owner there and said the city's interested in keeping them protecting the water tower. And there's no resistance on any of the people.
Your Honor, can I follow up again, please?
Councilmember Reeves.
Thank you. Do we know that if we got this $90,000 from the legislature and or if we would, you know, appropriate ourselves, that there could actually be a purchase? Do we have a commitment from any kind of verbal or written commitment from the owner?
Mayor, to Councilmember. He knows that, yes, they're interested, and he's not said no. He said, yes, I will work with you. So, yes. No, I will work with you, and if I thought there was resistance to it or putting a high price tag, I wouldn't bring it forward to the council.
So
no, the $1 million, no, that's for the entire. I'm sorry.
All right, what I'm hearing is we want to have that brought back to bring that back to us with some more specific information that we can. May be able to look at that and make more of a clear decision on that or give clear direction on that. Mr. Hannon, do you want to just kind of take us through the capital projects list? So from starting at the top.
Yes, Mayor. Okay, so I'll go through the rationale of each one very quickly and why it's on there. The first one was the council had requested earlier in the year the number one DEC project for water supply, and it's reconnaissance for a new well into our area, unincorporated area. So following being the number one rule and getting more points for DEC grants, it's number one on the list. The shared area gravel to road surfacing, this is that that's a multi-year project in the Sherrod area. We've done much of the water improvements. We had some money that was set aside in grant for roads, but not enough. This is to concentrate on the road surfaces there. We have additional money that we're carrying forward from earlier grants and loans to do the rest of the water projects next year, or do the next phase of water projects.
May I interrupt just a moment? Is this in your priority? Do you have this in priority order?
I do. This is the recommended priority order that's on here. The third one is the Bogard extension. This is the second phase. This is following the borough's projects. This is my recommendation to you. I mean, clearly, you can change anything. That's why it's here for tonight. The process of what I put on there, why it's in this order, follows whether you have dealt with the issue, how you had it in a past priority list, which are attached, and with the capital fair project. So that's the rationale of how it's there. The fourth one is a park project. So ideally what you see there are law enforcement, always the priority of infrastructure and law enforcement, but this gives an opportunity. It's a smaller than the $1 million ask there. If the legislature is willing or interested in helping us with a local project, you have received in the past a list of park priority projects. We have a master plan that covers this. This project it's already completed its first phase. It's a neighborhood project, it's inexpensive, and that's why it's on there as number four. the downtown road improvement, the Cobb Street. We did design this year with grant funding, and the next phase is to build the project. This is a carryover from last year, and if you look at the attached, it shows that on there. The number six are fire protective coats. This you'll see in the budget request, and ironically, since I even put this together, I think we're going to try a strategy that at your next meeting, you're going to see the request to approve the bid on the aerial truck. Well, our bids came in lower than what we had, the $1,800,000. So the $1,800,000 will pay for the truck and the attendant equipment that goes on there. We believe now, since I put this together, that we'll have sufficient money to do the turnouts. Now, what happens in that, like all of the grants for public safety, we go back and we have to negotiate with the grant provider, and so that will happen before you get this to come back to you. The airport fence replacement. This is, if you remember back from our agreement of getting a frangible fence at the golf course, was part of our DOJ settlement. We now have a design is into the FAA. They are favorably inclined towards this proposal. So we're going through the formal, and we've done that, of asking if we get the money, will you approve a fence design that's actually come up from our consultants on it? So this is the money that to replace the fence in total. There is still a possibility that we might get FAA funding that would then negate this. The Public Safety Dispatch Center software, this is an amount that would install updated software from Tiburon at our dispatch center and would make us compatible and the systems, if you want to say redundant between the two dispatch systems. And so it's asking, and this is borrowing, this requires us to utilize the license with Wasilla as opposed to going out and spending $1 million getting the system completely on our own. I've asked the borough for support of this, both if it becomes a legislative ask and potentially if it doesn't come from the state to utilize potentially E911 money. The ninth one is MTA Event Center. This is part of the projects that didn't get funded in the past. You know right now that we have a great deal of improvements that are going on at the event center. The energy improvements and having some additional storage area there just wasn't funded in the last time. And then this also includes tables and chairs that would allow us to more fully use the center for special events. The restore the Alaska Railroad tracks to the downtown. This is one of the priority, I think it is the number one priority that came to you earlier about park and trails project. It's one that you've had on the city has had on its priority ask to the legislature, so it continues to go there, as does the walk to the fair trail project. The public safety building repair and maintenance, this is a continuing work at the police department. We put a lot of money in there this year. We still have some issues, particularly over the dispatch center with the roof and siding, and this just follows up what we put in this year. The Bab Arboretum restoration, again, it was on, this was not on your ask list last year, but it was, it is included in our park plan, and this is to take the arboretum that we have now and the trails next to it and restoring it so we have a connection trail through that part of the city. And the final one is we're talking about the Palmer Water Tower.
Councilmember Hanson.
Your Honor, thank you. Could you remind me of our, when the council either voted or determined that our number one priority was the water supply study and pumping controls?
Sure. It's in the, I think it's in the council memorandum there. I think I have the date there. Let's see. It was this year. It's the final discussion right there. But do we had a council recommendation? It's about
what page
maybe,
is that?
I'm sorry, on page 103.
It's on the screen.
Oh, okay.
The council adopted
on the screen
this resolution.
Right in front of you, Brad.
Is that a continuation of last year's well improvements on number two, or is it?
It's an enhancement of that, meaning that we have. There's two parts of it. One of it, if you remember, was at the Scott Tower. Right now, there's some issues with water quality and dirt and stuff that comes up as the water comes out of the well. That's one part of it, and we need some improvement of the controls. It's upgrading it. But the other part that's an enhancement is much different, and that's conducting a reconnaissance of where our next wells might be. And that could be anywhere in our service area, from going all the way out near the college or finding another, another water source in between that. If you remember, we have the... Our two main wells are there by the airport, and so it's providing another source of where we have water supply for the future.
I have a question on the, oh, sorry, go ahead. I guess I just was wondering, we have the public safety building repair and maintenance. We asked for $435,000 last year, and we received $400,000. Repair and maintenance, I actually think that's a good one, and I think the state tends to, I mean, given that we have the state troopers there and at a very low cost, I think they have an interest in making sure that that facility is well maintained and repaired and so, but I don't want to, I guess I'm just a little curious. Could you just tell me a little bit about what we have done and what we're looking to do?
Mayor?
Yes.
And may I ask Tom Healy to come up here and help me a little bit? And just from the current
Certainly,
project.
Mr. Healy.
And I'll let him fill in the holes. If you remember, we had generator replacement there.
I mean, I see it's down here at number 12, and I was wondering if it's a number 12 priority because
right.
There's other ones that are, more pressing or...
Well, it's...
Exactly.
It's,
I mean, that's one of those things. I think it's got a high likelihood of being funded because it is a safety issue and maintenance issue. I mean, it's public safety, but also it is the state's, a lot of it's state facility. Mr. Healy.
Yeah, as has been mentioned, we did receive a Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development grant for $400,000 this year. That is, as of today, under another grant, we've replaced the heating system in the police side. So we've not proceeded on the $400,000 we have now, but generally that was for some roof repairs, painting, repair of the exterior. It was a lengthy list, carpeting, et cetera. I think it was a number of maintenance items which are in need of doing. What that $400,000 we have now is not going to cover entirely is the cost of possibly the need to replace the roof over the on the trooper side of the building. We've had some major kind of icing glacier problems there because the roof, when it was originally constructed, was not insulated. And so we have a real problem with ice and huge icicles coming off the trooper side, and it affects the access to the back of the building. So I think if this is a legitimate request, and it would look towards possibly replacing that entire roof, and that may be a $400,000 or $500,000 job in itself.
Is the roof insulated now?
No.
No.
What we've done is we put a gutter along the eave and put heat trace wire in that and piped it down to a well, I guess, to have a place for the water to go.
So roof insulation would be and roof replacement would be a very valid.
Yes.
Capital project.
Yes.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you. And that was my question on the Trooper Public Safety Center. Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you. Just to follow up on what you were saying, I think on that number 12, probably stating a roof replacement on the building leased to the state troopers or something might be something that would catch a few more people's eyes. On page 105, number 8, where it talks about the Public Safety Dispatch Center software, and I know Director Owens is not here tonight, but I'm just wondering if that shouldn't be moved up or something, because that, if I'm correct, if we don't do something there, we may not be in a position to actually be able to bid for the continuation of the dispatch service, unless something has happened since the last report we had. So that to me is, I don't know, maybe something we should discuss about it being maybe a higher priority or something. I'd appreciate other councilmen's comments on that. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. So I'm thinking, and would we make an amendment at this point?
Yes.
Well, I think until we get through the list, but I'm looking at that and thinking that should be in the top four of priorities. I mean, that's just what kind of comes to mind, but we haven't discussed the other ones to know what some of the other points are. And so, Mr. Manager, I think we jumped in. I think I jumped in there, and I'm not sure where you were on the list. You completed it? Oh, okay. Well, in that case, then that's why I didn't know where you are, because we were done. The airport fence replacement, then that is that 175 is the balance of what we...
No, Mayor, that's the estimate of what it costs to put in the fence.
Okay. I was just looking back at this... I was looking at the airport fence replacement resurfacing. We received $400,000. So the resurfacing was, it says runway resurfacing funded, but not fencing, but that leaves a balance of $300,000, and that's why I was wondering what that 175 was.
No, the fencing, the 175, the different projects that we've had funded and we still have funded out of the airport are we had money that we received, and we finished the crack ceiling this year. We have received money for our master plan that we're in the process of doing. We know that on the FAA recommended list for 2 years from now is the runway, complete runway resurfacing. And so that requires depending on what the final scope ends up, but approximately $400,000 for doing the design and engineering. That has been approved, so we already have those funds. So those projects are in the queue. This one is not yet. That's why I'm asking for the funds. And like I mentioned in the opening comments, there is still a strong possibility that the FAA will fund this. This is on their wish list that goes from the region back up to DC for allocation.
Councilmember Combs.
Yes, I want to lend some support to Councilmember DeVries' earlier remarks. Frankly, of course, this is always a difficult thing, you know, giving priority numbers, but I would definitely feel that the software, as well as particularly if we add roof replacement language to the number 12 item, they both need to be moved way up the list. They come under, you know, public safety, and that's got to be addressed no matter how much the others are just as worthy. But I think those two need to come up when we go to amend things. I think they need to come up in priority. Thank you.
Councilmember Best.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. The question on that I have for the airport fence replacement, this is the entire perimeter fence, or is it just the section that is next to the golf course? And is that inclusive of the frangible fence design knuckle?
Madam Mayor.
And installation.
Mr. Hannon.
This is the portion on the golf course. This is the frangible fence. This isn't about security around the entire airport, but this is the frangible fence on the course.
And Madam Mayor, may I follow up?
Councilmember Best.
And you had mentioned this was actually replacing that entire section, not just adding of the frangible knuckle in place, correct?
Well, if you remember, it's, you know, the golf course has some existing fence there, and that was the part that needed to be replaced. This is what the FAA has asked us for, the portion that needs to come, that's in basically the clear area from the runway. And this is their recommended site.
My only suggestion is that we add in there some sort of some designation of the frangible part and or safety, because this is truly a safety issue for both the airplanes and the folks around that area. And I think that's kind of a key word that will help promote this a bit. So airport safety fence replacement or frangible, you know, can be possibly put in that as well. So I would move to add safety to the airport fence replacement language, or just ask for the manager to rework that a bit to emphasize that.
Can we make that a amendment number, primary amendment number one, and then we'll walk ourselves back through these amendments?
Thank you.
So made by Councilmember Best, seconded by Councilmember Combs to amend to add that public safety airport safety fence replacement. All right, well, I guess we may as well vote on that. All those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes, you can say aye. We'll take it as a yes. Madam Clerk, will aye suffice, or shall we say yes?
It will suffice.
It will, okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so Premier Member 1 has passed. And that's to insert safety into airport safety fence replacement. So I guess what I'm wondering then is number 6, fire department protective coat replacement, will that still stay on our priority, our request list, or will that be taken off?
Oh, I can recommend that we take that off now. John Owen is pretty confident that he's going to be able to negotiate that with the state.
Okay. And then now on the number 4, the Wilson Park Phase 2 playground equipment, half-court base basketball paving, we built, the pump track has been built, right?
Yes.
So
there's two phases to the project.
Did we actually receive $37,227? We didn't receive it from the state. These are That $144 might have been a state request, but we received the $37,000 from a federal.
From a separate grant. This is just talking about how much funding.
So was the $144, as I was remembering, the $144 was after $137, but maybe I can't remember exactly what that was.
The amount.
Anyway, so $100 is what we're still looking at?
For the second phase, playground equipment and half-court basketball paving.
I would like to make an amendment, primary amendment number two, then, to move the public safety building to our number three priority.
Number three, you said?
Or, well, I mean, I just, I'll make a motion, I want to make my amendment to insert it. Actually, I'll make my amendment to insert it between the number three and the number four priority, so it becomes a number four priority.
Number four?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Second by Councilmember Combs. Discussion. All those in favor of moving item 12 to item, to follow item three, please signify by saying aye or yes. All opposed, say no. All right, we've, motion, our amendment, primary amendment number two has passed. Councilmember Combs?
While we're talking about that particular one, do we need an amendment to change the wording on there to include the words roof repair? I'd like to amend the wording on what is now number four, public safety building, police.
Insert roof before repair?
Yeah, roof replacement.
Second, Your Honor.
Roof replacement, repair, and maintenance?
Yeah, that's a, I think the roof replacement wordage is kind of important.
Mr. Healy?
You have police in parentheses there. It's actually the trooper side of the complex. I don't know if it, you could just say, you could just delete police, and it would cover it by just saying public safety building. There are some areas under the, actually right over the booking area in corrections in the, on the police side that needs replacement as well. So if you just keep it the public safety building, that should work.
All right. So would that be, so we can delete amendment police? Can we add that to your amendment, Councilmember Combs?
Amendment to the amendment, Madam Mayor.
Oh, it's already been made. Okay. Made and seconded. Okay, made by Councilmember Combs, insert roof replacement before repair and maintenance, and that was seconded by Councilmember DeVries. All those in favor of inserting those two words, please signify by saying aye or yes.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. All right, we have an amendment to remove the word police.
So move.
All right. Made by Councilmember Best, seconded by Councilmember Combs to remove the words police and the parents that surround it. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye or yes.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. All right, very good. Now we have item number four. Now it will now read public safety building, roof repair, roof replacement, repair and maintenance. All right. Councilmember Hanson.
So I have a question of the of staff. Is the water supply study and pump and controls, is that our only DEC requested project then?
Mayor?
Mr. Hannon?
Yes, and that's because we're asked by DEC to give our one priority to them, and that's what we did.
Just one?
Mm-hmm.
We're down to one, though.
Is it a DEC? Oops. Is that a DEC?
Sorry.
Mr. Haley's the manager. Is that a DEC?
We made application to DEC under their municipal matching grant program for this next year for the water supply study and pump and controls project, as well as, I think, Bogart Water Extension Phase 2. We only needed to identify one top priority, so that's why the water supply was in a previous resolution. But the issue with the water, or the Bogart Water Extension Phase 2 is that, if I could, just briefly, the borough's proceeding with Phase 2 of the project, that is to take the to finish the road improvements at the intersection of 49th State Street down about a half a mile or so alongside Colony Schools on Bogart. We have money left over from the $3.5 million for the current project that's underway for the water line. We'll have between $700,000 and $900,000 left over. What I'd like to do is use that money to, while they're building the extension, to lay in the water line, so it's there and all done in one construction project. But what we need then is the booster station. Either we build a booster station and don't go to the Colony Schools and do that later, or we go to the Colony Schools with a pipe and build a booster station later. So it's I'm just putting in a plug for that Phase 2 on the Bogart, because it will do all of that.
Yeah. You don't have to sell us on it, Tom.
Councilor.
Okay, so was that all DEC money, or I thought that was AEDC or whatever? I thought it was a different source of money.
The current $3.5 million?
Yeah.
That was a Department of Community and Commerce.
Yeah, that's a big long one.
DCCED, yeah.
So this one's just going to be the DEC?
If it scores well enough on the grant program, which we're not assured that it will.
So I guess my question here is, and I know that it's listed 1 and 3 right now, but is there any reason to think that one of those is, I mean, I guess what's the reasoning behind making the water supply study, pump and controls, the number one and the extension number 3? I mean, I'm just curious about that.
Mayor?
Mr. Hannon.
Again, it's following what the council did in terms of your deliberation to make that DEC project. It's to get the maximum points for the water supply study. The last time we did this, we didn't score as high as we wanted to. We didn't get funded the last time. And so the hope is to say, yes, we hope that this will then push us over the top to get the funding. That's the reason. Both of them are important.
I think this Bogart Road Water Extension has actually, if we're going to legislature for money, has a much higher possibility of getting funded than I don't know. It depends on how we put the package together, which is why it'd be interesting to see what that looks like.
We're gonna build the strongest case for all of them. The water supply, you know, again, it has two parts to it. One is to upgrade the systems we have now. The other part is that the Mat-Su, including us, are the fastest growing area in the state. And we have a lot of people that are out there to be served by both water and by sewer. And that's what this is all about, of getting ahead of that and having a master plan and having backup systems for water. You know, we are not in bad shape right now in terms of water supply that what we have, and our sewer is good, but that's because past councils had the foresight to plan for the future, and that's exactly what this is.
Yeah, I think that the priority is completely justified. I mean, the DEC is more of an analytical decision as far as numbers and scoring, and, you know, and that's why the water supply study ought to be number one, because, you know, the Bogard Water Extension is more of a potential political. I mean, we have more clout with saying, you know, these, this is to a school, this is to, you know. So I think, I think the priority is appropriate, is what I'm trying to say, in a very long.
Councilmember Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just for kind of a housekeeping in this list, it was explained to us that the fire department protective coating number 6, it needs to come off of there. So I move to remove number 6.
Second.
Excuse me. So move number 6, who's seconded? Carrington. Made by Councilmember Best, seconded by Councilmember Carrington. Remove number 6. Further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye or yes.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. All right, we have removed number 6. Councilmember Combs.
Thank you. I do remember discussing, and I do agree that the water supply study should be number one. But I remember discussing it at length because it replaced what's been number one for a number of years that I don't see on here at all. And I don't remember that being part of the deal when we had the discussion to make the water study number one. And that is the shared water main replacement phases have got to keep going on. When they've already been out there being worked on for minimum 10, 12 years at best. And I know it's winding down. We're down to a last couple of streets. But what I understand is one of the things that's happening is we're going to be putting with the new stuff that's gone in this summer. Great job over there, by the way. My whole neighborhood's been under construction, feels like all for months, and it has. But there's putting a strain on what's already there that was, the foresight was to keep replacing and to not give up on that. And boy, yeah, I know, I understand that the Bogard extension is important because we're looking at the future too, but we've already seen the pictures. I'm just got to get my 2 cents in here. We've already seen the pictures of the pipe on the couple of streets that are still left that have been, it's come down to they're going to be the last ones. And the holes in them are this big. We're losing money because that's literally water going into the ground. And when those pipes have to have repairs, it's not any cheaper to do any work on them. And we've already had to do some repairs, which was not inexpensive. So I just wanted to make that point. I'm not going to be against the water supply study or the Bogard water extension, all these things. I tell people all the time, no, they're not glamorous, but they're an important part of what we do. But we can't lose sight of a project that we've been working on and working on and working on, and then have it kind of drift away. Thank you.
And you're talking about the steel, referring to the steel water, last year's page 107, steel water main replacement project, of which we received $1 million and we requested.
Right, and it was just a phase, and it's been on number one for the last
that's what I was thinking.
4 or 5 years, and it's like it's disappeared.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Mr. Hanna.
Okay. Mayor, and hasn't disappeared at all. If you remember from the last couple of meetings when we did all of the reports of where the funding is, and Tom can finish the rest of it, but we have the funding for the next phase, and that's why what we don't have funding for are the roads, and that's why the road portion is on here, and it remains as the priority and has not dropped off. So Tom can, but if you remember from the last council meeting, went and detailed all of the project funding of what we still have to do, because it's a multi-year project, and we have the funding, that loans, that we took out the loans. We just couldn't complete everything this year because we ran out of construction season. And maybe Mr. Healy can help finish with the rest of the discussion about the funding we have. Mayor.
Mr. Healy. Mayor.
Yeah, that's correct. We have waiting in the wings that will come before the council. We've been awarded, this was last year actually, a $3 million grant from DEC for the final phase, really, of the Sherrod project. We will need to provide a match for that, so we'll have to authorize a loan of, I think it's approximately $1.2 million. But that will give us another $4 million plus, which will finish out the Sherrod project. Yes. Yeah.
Your Honor.
Councilor Hanson.
I wish to make an amendment. I would like to see number 8 move to you can move it to 5.
Talking about the public safety dispatch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second, Your Honor.
Moving it to number after number 4,
yeah.
Making it number 5.
Yeah.
All right.
And I just want to say that, you know, like Councilperson DeVries brought up, you know, we need to stay competitive in the dispatch center arena, and we need to have sufficient equipment, adequate equipment, the proper equipment to be able to compete for that RFP that we all know is coming. And so I just think it needs to be a priority of the city to be in a position to bid the project. So
I would have liked to hear what Director Owen had to say about that. But now, is this possible, the borough may be able to put that in there? Well, I guess I should go ahead. You're making the motion. Do we have a second?
No, we have a second. I've just discussed.
So huh? That
discussion's on. I just discussed.
Oh, okay. But we have a second, right? Yeah, okay. All right, well, I have a question. So as a borough, can make that maybe a co-project or something? Because, I mean, really it is, so they can support that. I know we did that before, where we had the borough bring down some things, which, like, I think the Bogart extension was one that we had them work together with us on.
Mayor Wood.
Mayor.
Okay. In separate, if you go, for those of you that don't get, would see this email, if you go to the borough's website at their last meeting, you'll see in there a resolution that has the legislative ask. What I've done separately is email that to council, public record, and anyone outside can look at it too. So they already have their list of the legislative ask, very large projects, including Bogart. What I've done is I've gone to the borough manager and said, we think this is very important for the entire borough. And I told them that I was recommending to the council a legislative ask, and I would like their support of that. I don't think they have a project on there that's less than $3 or $4 million. And then I mentioned if we were not successful there, then I would ask that they consider in the E91 money. So if you remember last year, what the borough did is they doubled their rate. So they have approximately $1 million additional dollars than what they did have to go for, you know, public safety projects. So that's what I told the manager there. If we would like to get it, hopefully it'll stay on our list. Hopefully the legislature will give that to us. If they don't, then I'll come back and ask for some support from the borough. So that's where that number is. And again, this is key in that this is not buying our own license. So this still takes negotiations, and we've had the conversation with the city of Wasilla. That's what Public Safety Director John Owen is doing for us, is to keeping those conversations open in our committee meetings, saying, look, we want to work together. If we get this, then we're able, right now we communicate between the two, but we're not identical software. Remember, if that was one of the discussions, we got the feedback, Frank, from the borough. This makes it so that it's seamless between the two systems. And that's why it's on there.
Sorry, Councilmember Perry.
Yes, I would support Councilman Hansen's motion to move it up on the list. I think with our complex relationship with the borough and the city of Wasilla and the whole dispatch area, it behooves us to show it as a priority and that we're willing to, you know, to push this. So I think it's a very good idea.
Councilmember Best.
So I have a question. We're talking about moving it to, okay, so Jeanette did put it between the two other fours that we had. So is that the proper placement that you were looking for? Thank you.
All right. So we now have to vote. Well, you don't want to call for the question because that requires two-thirds, although we would have to vote on calling for the question. So let's go ahead, if you would withdraw.
Sure.
No, let's go ahead and just vote on this. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye or yes.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. All right, we move that priority. Now we have, so anyway, you can see it on the screen before you. Anything else?
Madam Mayor.
Excuse me, Mr. Healy.
Sorry, I noticed just as I was looking at this when I was sitting down, if you go up to the title of the resolution, I think you need to change the years. This may have been copied from the last year's thing, but I believe it's the state fiscal year 2016. Mm-hmm. And my suggestion would just be to call it the state fiscal year 2015, not put on 2014.
Well, I guess I was, yeah, we'll make an amendment here.
Also, I'm sorry, but under the now therefore, it mentions the 2014 budget, so.
2015, okay. I have a question now. We have to pass this capital projects list tonight by the last meeting in September, right? But it's not our state of Alaska legislative request, is it? Is it our capital projects priority list, Madam Clerk?
It is our legislative request. I'm pulling up the code. The council's right here on the resolution identifying the legislative priorities no longer later than the fourth Tuesday, and then the capital improvement program comes before the council with the budget.
Okay. All right, I knew there was some differences there. All right, very good. Are we ready to vote on this in its entirety?
Veronica, do we need a motion?
Okay, that's right. Okay, we're not quite ready. So we have the amendments. I mean, I just want to make a motion that this resolution will be amended to reflect the current year and the current state fiscal year throughout the wording.
Second.
All right, seconded by Councilmember Best. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye or yes.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed, say no. All right. Then that brings us back to the main motion on resolution number 14-021 as amended to reflect the current year and state fiscal year and capital budget and the amendments. What do we have, eight amendments. So does anybody need to have those amendments restated? All right, then we'll go ahead and vote on these as amended. All those in favor of the main motion as amended, please signify by saying aye or yes.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say no. All right, we have our capital project state legislative requests has been completed. Let's go ahead and take a brief, let me just take a look at the agenda here. Let's go ahead and take a brief recess, and then we'll come back for the rest of the agenda. Order. And according to the clerk, as far as doing things properly and okay, if people have no objection to or want to discuss the acceptance of each of these grants individually, we can accept them in one motion. Is there any objection to that? Okay, move the bundle. Okay, that would. Okay, so Councilmember Best moved the bundle, and Councilmember Carrington seconded. Everyone know what we're moving? All right, very good. Well, in that case,
is that a motion to adopt?
I think so.
I know a bundle. All right, thank you. Okay, thank you.
That isn't exactly, yeah, this isn't exactly how the clerk, the wording, but that works. But I think what I would like to have happen is I'd like to have the clerk read through the titles of each of the resolutions. So they're read into the record. They're moved as a unit, and we have a second, and then we'll, you can read them in the record, then we'll vote on it.
Thank you. Resolution number 14-027, accepting and appropriating grant number 15-DC-128 in the amount of $400,000 from the State of Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for airport pavement repairs and paving. Resolution number 14-029, accepting and appropriating grant number 15-DC-130 in the amount of $435,000 from the State of Alaska Department of Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for the Palmer Public Safety Building Repairs. Resolution number 14-030, accepting and appropriating grant number 15-DC-131 in the amount of $150,000 from the State of Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for Palmer Public Works Storage Building Upgrades. Resolution number 14-031, accepting and appropriating grant number 15-DC-132 in the amount of $200,000 from the State of Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for Railroad Depot Safety Upgrades and Improvements. Resolution number 14-032, accepting and appropriating grant number 15-DC-133 in the amount of $145,000 from the State of Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for replacement of the Wastewater Treatment Plant Lab Building.
All right, any discussion on accepting these items? All right, very good. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. All right, very good. We've adopted and are accepted and appropriated these grants. That brings us to our record of items placed on the table, Madam Clerk.
Nothing from this meeting.
All right, very good. Next item is our final audience participation, a time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes. If you are representing a group, please sign in, state your name for the record, and feel free to have a seat if you'd like, and turn on the microphone.
My name is Eugene Haberman. I represent myself. I do live in the Matsu Borough. Some people are here are confused. I do live in the Matsu Borough for a number of years, resident in Alaska since September 30th, 1977. As you know, I review public process. I'm concerned first on the item on page 102 of the packet. It cites that states that under chapter 3.28.05, the council is directed to hold a public hearing concerning the resolution identifying the city's legislative priorities no later than the fourth Tuesday in September. You just passed the item of that resolution without a public hearing, and I would expect a public hearing. Even says it in the memorandum, and a later date is already too late. Okay, so you need to do a motion reconsideration and bring back to a public hearing with a proper notice. And also, when you do resolutions, that doesn't advertise it like a public hearing does, where the public knows about before and sees a list and so forth. Now, another item is what I've discussed before is about the scheduling conflicts of your meetings. In regard to borough assembly meetings, I addressed the issue in August that there were three meetings you had in conflict with borough assembly, two in September. I alerted you in a September 4th email prior to the 9th and the 16th. In response, there has been, it appears to be, a policy of indifference to my concerns where you had a situation where you did hold a meeting on September 9th and you did hold a meeting on September 16th. And I will urge you prior to that date, as early as the 4th, and I reported to you verbally in a meeting prior to that date not to do this, to change the date to work with the borough assembly. Instead, you created a conflict where the public had to make a choice which meeting to go to. Now, if you look at your schedule too, in October 21st and 28th, I believe, was also in conflict with borough assembly meetings. On the 16th, I spoke again on the issue, which I'm speaking to you tonight, in which the concerns I have on this conflict, the borough mayor said these words after my statement that the Palmer is taking, the city of Palmer is taking care of it. Well, we're here tonight, and who's taking care of what? All I see is a policy of indifference. Now, I add one more footnote to this, is you're not alone to the situation of conflict of meetings. I looked at the records for the city of Houston. In the year 2014, there were three meetings that were in conflict with the borough assembly meetings. One happened in January, and two happened in around budget, borough budget time. And I should note, too, is in the case of Houston, their meetings are on Thursday nights. Borough assembly meetings are on Tuesdays. So both parties have to really make it hard to have that conflict occur. And again, I just, and like I said, okay. I look now as a...
Wrap it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. One footnote, I say, is policy of indifference, but I also said there was a reference to the election brochure was mailed out. I looked at that brochure, and compared to the state manual, all I'm going to say is it's not reader-friendly. If you look at the ballot itself, you cannot read it. It's not reader-friendly.
All right,
and
thank you.
And the state knows better not to do that scenario. Thank you.
All right, I just want to state, first of all, that thank you, Mr. Haberman. Apparently you are right. We do need to have a public process, public hearing on that, and we will have that at our... But fortunately, these things are covered in the Roberts Rules, so we will have a public hearing following this, the motion tonight, so we can have a public hearing on the next meeting. So we will have that public hearing. So thank you for that. And what I want to defer to in this instance, of course, is the clerk. Without getting into a long discussion at the table, say that's why we have a clerk. Madam Clerk, sort it out, make it right, tell us what we have to do to be correct and legal, and I know that she will. Secondly, I have to make the point. City of Palmer did not create a conflict with the Mat-Su Borough. We've certainly discussed this at the table. Obviously, it is hard to have those two meetings, and I know it's been brought up. They have their regular meetings on the 3rd and they have the 1st and 4th, or 1st and 3rd, and we have the 2nd and 4th. So the regular meetings are not in conflict. How that might be sorted out, certainly I'd be happy to put that on the agenda and discuss it at a future date. I know we have talked about it, and we haven't really came up with a way that and what we should be changing, because I believe it's been voted on not that long ago whether we should change the meeting or not, and it's been within the last 5 years. But no reason we can't do that again at the request. If after budget time, we may have an opportunity to do that. But with that, there's no further anything else to add. And we have council member comments. If we could start with council member Carrington, and we'll work this direction.
Okay, I'd just like to comment about the whole meeting scheduling thing, that the majority of us on the Palmer City Council are what we call working. We have jobs and we have different hours. And Some of them are evening hours, and that, in addition to just scheduling things on a weekly basis, you know, I think all of us kind of hold Tuesday open for meetings or special meetings, you know, and that's just how it is. We, you know, we try our best, but I think we're doing pretty good at committing a lot of time to what we do as it is.
My turn. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to ask for council support to direct the city attorney to meet with the mayor and understand the three accusations that she had made earlier this evening, and to investigate the validity and report back to city council. Say within, what's the...
I think that I have to jump in here on this. I said I think that you're putting words in my mouth, and I prefer that you don't do that. And if I certainly have opportunities to speak to the attorney, and I think what you're doing here is stirring up something that doesn't need to be stirred up, and I don't think that it's within the council's purview to start directing what I speak to the attorney about, and certainly not saying that I'm directing me to make accusations, because I don't think that's fair. But if you'd like to, we can you know, I don't know where you want to go with that, but that seems like that this doesn't seem like it's for the good of the order or moving forward or the best in the public interest. This just doesn't seem right to me, and I'm not going to have words put in my mouth.
Actually, the motion is has been made already, Madam Mayor, and these were comments that you made in the previous meeting. Either they are accurate and you're willing to stand behind it, or that you are making things up. And so I'd like to have this information discussed, brought back to City Council so it can be open, because if there are members of the City Council who have acted inappropriately, that needs to be brought before the public.
Finish with your comments, Councilman. Move best.
I'll support his request.
Excuse me?
I'll support.
Seconded by Councilmember DeVries to support Councilmember Best. And I guess I'm going to have to ask the attorney. I'm just not familiar with this type of, I'm just not exactly sure what we're being asked to do. I guess on the other hand, I don't want to have the answer here. We'll bring it back at another time. All done, Councilman Best, or do you have anything else?
My turn. All right.
Certainly, Councilman Hanson.
I want to thank Mr. Haberman for being here tonight and keeping us in line. And I certainly appreciate, you know, a constant review of our public process. So I honestly do appreciate you coming in. So thank you.
Councilmember Priest. I just said go down.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Your Honor. I want to just second what Councilman Carrington said. I, for one, am one that's committed to a contract, and so I do work nights or evenings from 6 to 10, and so I've kept Tuesday nights open. And I remember years ago when I served both on the City Council and the Borough Assembly, and there were nights when you had to choose which meeting you were going to go to. And I think, if I'm not incorrect, on Monday nights as the City of Wasilla and the school board. So we don't, yeah, and Wednesday, and I think it's Monday School Board, and so is City of Wasilla, if I remember correctly. So I realize that there is a choice that you have to make, and I appreciate you attending our meetings and making the choice to be here, but I don't see a solution.
I would like to say that I'm absolutely certain we had a terrific student exchange with Saroma over the last couple weeks. I want to thank everybody that took part in that exchange. I know they reached Seattle this afternoon and they're on their way home. And I'd like to remind everybody that the food drive is going to start for the Palmer Food Bank October 1st. And we have a nice, lovely box in the foyer. And I challenge all of the council members to, you know, make donations just as usual. Breakthrough at the Borough Assembly last week. And I know there's a little lady that's kind of dear to all of us who is probably still dancing in the streets. No one has particularly seen her since this decision, but the I'm sure you've read about it, but the borough has made a priority for a regional wastewater facility. And so Ellen Minos has prevailed. And when I grow up, I want to be just like Helen. So, and Mr. Haberman, I too appreciate your attention, and I appreciate the things that you've pointed out. It's my understanding from history, however, that first, you know, the City of Palmer established their meeting nights long before we had a borough assembly. The borough assembly, when they established theirs, was trying to be at the opposite Tuesday evenings, which worked for a few decades. But what's happened in the last decade is a tremendous amount of growth in our borough. And my colleagues at this table, my colleagues at the borough assembly table, City of Wasilla, City of Houston, the school board, et cetera, are all doing our jobs by having as many meetings as we have to do the type of work that we've been elected to do. We do a good job, in my opinion. If there is a conflict that would be something pertaining to the City of Palmer, I have every confidence in my mayor and my city manager that they will make sure that someone from the City of Palmer will be at a borough assembly meeting or at another meeting. If it specifically addresses Palmer and it's of an importance, I really do appreciate everything that you've written and that you've said, with the exception of the word of indifference. The people who come here regularly every Tuesday night, it seems like, I do remember the days when there were only two meetings a month. That was over a decade ago. It hasn't been that way for a long time. We make that commitment when we run for election. We're here. We're doing the work that we're elected to do, and I don't think that that equals indifference. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't think anyone is indifferent, and in fact, not at all. But I will make the point that I have attended some city functions at the request of the manager, and at least one other meeting I chose not to attend to avoid all appearance of a conflict, and I've been kind of, we got to make sure that the absentee rate, if I'm not going to be at the council table, if I'm going to be at the assembly meeting, then how does that exactly work? So I guess more things that we can continue to talk about. But I would like to know, I'm not one to spend a, so I'd like to hear from Councilmember DeVries and Councilmember Best, how much time would they like to, how much money would they like to budget this time to talk to the attorney? Because I really am unclear. I think it's ridiculous to spend city money on this. So how much would you like to have spent? So I'm clear on what we're going to talk, how much time I'm going to be talking to the attorney about this. Councilmember Best? I'd like further clarification. You had asked me to speak to the attorney about what you thought to be your concerns with, and I do, I have a number of concerns, and would you like to let me know how much you would like to see budgeted for that amount?
Madam Mayor, was not a question of budget. At the last meeting, on the record, you made three accusations. And
no,
I'd like
I'm
to
sorry.
Have the, no, Madam
I'd like
Mayor,
to ask
Madam
you
Mayor,
a question.
Point of order. I have the microphone. Madam Mayor.
Mr. Best.
You asked my opinion.
Best,
I'm giving you your opinion.
I'm not
my
asking
opinion.
You for an opinion. I'm
yes,
asking
you, did.
You,
you
for
asked
a budget
me.
Amount. Okay, well, with no further business before the council, the meeting is adjourned.